Hey folks, this is the Public Health Podcast, sorting through policy and wellness news to make some sense of what the flippity flap is going on in healthcare. This is Healthy Schmelty. Hello there. I'm your host of this here little podcast, and who am I? Well, I have a master's of public health. My entire career has been in healthcare. My socks are super funky right now. I got these super funky surfer socks from San Francisco. And guess what? This funky sock wearing person is Rishi B, and he's the host of Healthy Schmelty. Hey there, folks. Thank you very much for listening today. On today's episode of Healthy Schmelty, we'll be talking about the White House pushing again for Obamacare repeal. And also, we have the return of some once-thought-defeated diseases. Some outbreaks have been popping out, and we'll be looking into that. And also, we'll be answering the question that's on the lips of everyone. If you were to look at anyone's lips, they would be asking this question: what do you get when you mix Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and JP Morgan Chase? And also lastly, we'll be talking about opioids. What led to the opioid crisis and what's the best way to address it? I attended a very informative webinar, so I'll be sharing some information that I got from that. And lastly, we'll be talking about some positive news. Believe it or not, there is good news out there in the world, folks. But first, I think I hear something going on in the army barracks. What is that? What could that possibly be? Attention all soldiers, attention. We have some calls to action. First up, we have some recalls for avocados. Please recall yourself from the army barracks for possible listeria contamination. These are avocados sold from Henry Avocado, sold in California, Arizona, Florida, Wisconsin, North Carolina, and New Hampshire. Pack your bedrolls and please recall yourselves. Also, will Tyson Chicken Strips please exit the barracks for this recall to action? Per the Department of Agriculture Food Safety and Inspection Service, for possible foreign matter contaminant. Lastly, will need Hill's Dog Food per the FDA to recall themselves from the barracks. Please, Hill's Dog Food, recall yourself for 33 varieties of canned wet food being sold to 78 different countries, being recalled for toxic amounts of vitamin D. Will all these foods please recall themselves, and will all listeners to this podcast who are interested in learning more about these recalls, check RishiB.com for the show notes. Some health headlines, talking about some of the stories that I mentioned at the top of the episode. But first, music for this episode was provided by Bacao Rhythm and Steel Band. That's B-A-C-A-O Rhythm and Steel Band. You can find more about them at RishiB.com for the show notes for this episode. Alright, first up, we have the White House pushing again for repeal of the Affordable Care Act. And so this was a notice sent out on Monday, March 25th, and this was a notice sent out from the Department of Justice in a two-sentence letter that was sent to the Federal Appeals Court. And those two sentences were some pretty impactful two sentences. They reversed the administration's previous partial opposition to a lawsuit challenging the law. And this charge is being led by Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, who was just hired recently. this is making a lot of attention and making a lot of headlines, but the whole thing is just really confusing because any action by this would need to be led by the Department of Justice, but the head of the Department of Justice, Attorney General William Barr, he's actually come out in support of the Affordable Care Act. He does not support this opposition. And also the Department of Health and Human Services, Alex Azar, also does not support it. So the White House administration shouldn't be a shocker to anyone. It's a little bit split on this one, but we'll be seeing where this goes. A friend of mine, he thinks that all this is just a distraction put out from the White House, or specifically probably Donald Trump, to distract the public away from the Mueller report. Also in the news, we're seeing the return of once thought defeated diseases. These are vaccine preventable diseases that were thought to be eliminated. Most notably, we're seeing measles outbreaks in New York, California, and Washington. And also in spots within the country, we're seeing pertussis, aka whooping cough, coming back. For whooping cough, the number of cases currently is exceeding the peaks for that disease back in 1955. So we're breaking some new records here with these vaccine-preventable diseases. In the news, New York has been getting a lot of attention with this, where they declared a state of emergency in Rockland County, New York, over the measles outbreak. County executives there, they banned non-vaccinated minors from public places for 30 days or until those minors can prove that they received the MMR vaccine. And it should be noted that similar initiatives to this, like banning exemptions to vaccines, those are being considered by a bunch of different states. And also some states, I think most notably California, is considering having exemptions approved by public health officials. And those are the only ones that will be considered legal exemptions by law, is if they're recognized by public health officials. But something's got to be done because according to the CDC, already in 2019, the number of measles cases that's been spotted is greater than all the cases that were made in 2018. So we're only a few months in, but these vaccine-preventable diseases are making quite a punch. Less potentially political news. It's kind of sad that vaccines have to be political, I suppose. But in less political news, what do you get when you mix Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and JP Morgan Chase? You get Haven. So this venture was first announced back in January 2018. And those three companies, they decided to partner together to make a healthcare company. And at first it was going to be a product that was going to be provided nationwide, but then they decided that they're just going to focus on their shared employees, which amounts to about 1.2 million people. And I've been keeping my eye on this ever since it was first announced back in January 2018. I attended a conference with a speaker there from Revive Health. I wish I had the speaker's name. He was a really interesting guy. But what this guy was saying was, when you think about healthcare, we all know that the costs are very exorbitant. We're hearing that all the time, that the U.S. healthcare costs are very high, which they are, just objectively speaking. But he made a point that if you're a business who could potentially get into healthcare, you have a lot to gain, because even if you can shave off 1% or 2% of the total costs that are being spent in the U.S., which are about $4 trillion, if you can just get 1% or 2% of $4 trillion, you could be making off with a pretty amount of money. So, I mean, 3% of $1 trillion is $30 billion. So, I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. So the name unveiling of Haven, this product between Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and JP Morgan Chase, comes with a new website, and they're basically calling for all insurance companies, hospitals, different providers to hop in on the website and be part of a conversation on new ideas that can address healthcare problems. And I think the thinking here between these companies is that the private market has to figure something out because they can't wait for the public. Next up here, we have an article from the New York Times, and it reports that death from drugs and suicide reach a record in the U.S. So this was based off of data compiled by the CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, for the year 2017. And there is an analysis that was done by two public health nonprofits where they found that 150,000 Americans died from alcohol, drugs, and suicide in 2017. And that's twice the number that died of those causes in 1999. And so for 2017, in addition to that, more than 1,000 Americans died from synthetic opioid overdoses every 2 weeks. So these two nonprofits that did this analysis, they're kind of split actually on who they point the finger at. One of the nonprofits points to disparities in healthcare and also increasing loneliness. So probably something to do with social media. Everyone's staring at their phones instead of loving each other, loving and hugging each other. The other nonprofit, they say that pharmaceutical companies making addictive drugs are the ones that should be given the blame here. And also overprescription by clinicians of synthetic opioids. So some different causes. One doesn't have to be right. One doesn't have to be wrong. Everything can be right to varying degrees. But if you want to see that information for yourself, I'll have that article posted in the show notes for this episode. And now let's narrow in a little bit on the opioid crisis. I recently attended a webinar hosted by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, and this webinar was talking about the opioid crisis from the provider perspective. And they also offered a primer on the crisis. So by now probably a lot of you are aware about some factoids, but just in case, opioids are prescribed in the first place because of their effectiveness at treating pain. But it does come with caveats, and so the World Health Organization, they put out a step-by-step guideline for clinicians when they're prescribing opioids. And that includes steps to take before prescribing opioids, like Tylenol or something else within that Tylenol, kind of drugs that do things like Tylenol. And opioids were also prescribed for headaches and arthritic pain, but it has been found since then. So, you know, these opioids have been being prescribed for a while. So since the time that they were first being prescribed, it's been found that opioids actually aren't as good as other medications to treat arthritic pain and headaches. And they're only best to be used in for those cases if other medications haven't worked. So in the end, my takeaways from this webinar here and learning about how opioids are considered within the provider space is opioid prescriptions should be treated very carefully. You don't just prescribe it just because you know, you got a headache or something. And it's understood that anyone who takes opioids, regardless of their background, they're going to have some withdrawal. And just from a consumer perspective, you should know that you should also take your prescription of opioids very seriously and, you know, take it for a couple of days. And after your major symptoms have gone away, there's lots of facilities now, hospitals and insurance companies, just a lot of different places that they'll take your unneeded or leftover prescriptions. So make sure you're being very careful about that. So some of you may be wondering, hey, didn't the White House declare opioids a national emergency? Well, so that is true. They did declare that a national emergency. And a bill was passed back in October 2018. And that shouldn't be skipped over for that bill. I don't have the name of the bill, actually. But it was a rare bipartisan push that came in response to the declaration of the opioid crisis being called a public health emergency back in 2017. The unfortunate thing is, although this bill does a lot, that's really the only thing that's happened from the federal government after the public health emergency was declared for the opioids. So more recently, some of you may have seen in the news that President Trump proposed a budget that has to be approved by Congress, since they famously have the power of the purse. Everyone loves that purse power. And in the proposed budget, there was $291 million over a decade that was put towards HIV prevention. But as far as opioids, nothing really specifically was called out. However, there was 7% of the budget that was geared towards Homeland Security, which includes $8.6 billion for a border wall.
The second part of our initiative is to reduce the supply of illicit drugs. 90% of the heroin in America comes from our southern border, where eventually the Democrats will agree with us and will build the wall to keep the damn drugs out.
So that's the federal government's take. We need to build a wall in order to keep the damn drugs out. So there could be some causation there. It's difficult to pick out what leads to what. But where do opioids come from specifically? That's what we're talking about here. And so I found an interview here with William Bronsfield. And William Bronsfield is formerly of the Federal Bureau of International Narcotics. He's currently with the Foreign Service. And he did an interview with Boston Public Radio. And I wanted to share a clip of that with everyone here.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. A pleasure to be here.
Well, and when you look at the opioid crisis overall in this country, how many of those drugs are coming in from outside of the United States?
Listen, when I talk about the current crisis, I say it's not just opioids. It's opioids, it's heroin, and it's fentanyl. Now, most of the opioids that are consumed here in the United States are, in fact, domestically produced and then diverted into the black market. But nearly 100% of the heroin that is consumed here comes from outside of the United States. The overwhelming majority, like 95% of that, from Mexico. And the fentanyl, which is taking what is already a crisis and turning it into a mega crisis, overwhelmingly comes from outside the United States as well. In this case, largely from China.
So per William Bronsfield, the country is not just dealing with opioids, but they're also dealing with, or we are also dealing with, heroin and fentanyl too. Heroin and opioids are connected, but from the narcotics perspective, they differentiate between those two. And as he was saying, most opioids are produced domestically. And this aligns with other evidence that we're seeing too on this subject. For example, per the North Point Evergreen Rehab Center, those most at risk for abuse are those using prescription opioids for pain. So these opioids that are being prescribed and that are being produced by the pharmaceutical companies, these are the ones that are most responsible for the addictions and spikes in opioid use that we're seeing. in the country currently. Whereas heroin, like he was saying, heroin is almost entirely from Mexico. And he says later on that Mexico is part of the Central America Regional Security Initiative. And they've been putting some laws in there to try to get a handle on heroin. And then fentanyl, as he stated, is coming from China. And they're also trying to place some laws to get a handle on this. These drug abuses are still happening. But, you know, for this opioid crisis that we're going through currently, it's these ones that are being prescribed that we want to get a hand on to control the crisis. We go. I spoke to your doctor, and they said that they would prescribe you some good news. But before we get into the positive news story for this episode, I just wanted to note that you can email me at therishib@gmail.com. You can tweet me at rishibh, and tweet me or email me or comment on this episode at rishibh.com, and look at the show notes there for any articles and links. And give me any comments that you have on anything that we talked about here today. And once again, music for this episode was provided by Bacow Rhythm and Steel Band. You can find more about them at rishibh.com. But first, let's get into some good news.
Good news, everyone!
All right, good news, everyone. There are companies out there that are combating poverty and homelessness, and some inventive methods. Actually, in my hometown, Ann Arbor, Michigan, we have a company here called Ground Cover, and they're a nonprofit news publication, and their way of combating poverty and homelessness is by contracting some impoverished people to sell copies of their news publication. And all proceeds and stuff like that, they share that through the contract with the people selling them. You can get an article that provides the full story on this at rishibh.com for the show notes from this episode. But they talked to a few different people who are newspaper people for this organization, Ground Cover. And they all said that they enjoyed that this was a legal way to earn money, and it also helps them keep their dignity. I thought that was kind of interesting that they talked to maybe like five different people, and they all said that same thing, that this was a kind of a way that allows them to, you know, keep hustling, but it also lets them keep some integrity on the way there. You can get the full story once again at rishibh.com. All right, folks. Well, that's our episode for the day. Regarding the opioid crisis, if you or anyone you know are having some struggles with this, please know that there's a lot of options out there. There's a lot of information as well, and you can get some links here at the show notes for this episode. I'm sharing links to drugfree.org. That one in particular seems to have a lot of good information about what treatment options may be available to you. And also, probably for more interest for families or loved ones dealing with someone who's struggling with this, there's an organization called the North Point Evergreen Rehab Center, and their website had a lot of great information that just helps you get educated on the issues, on this opioid crisis, the different factors involved with that. So please, if you're someone who's dealing with this, or if you know someone, there's information out there, and just get help.